was this man? What was he? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Join the Walter M. Sterling Club.
I could crack a walnut down there if I needed to.
Oh my gosh, there's Tom Oakes in Anchorage, Alaska. KBYR. I am so excited and thrilled to be on a station in Anchorage, Alaska, because the sales department will count it as California. Welcome, Tom.
Thank you, Walter. Great to be on with you.
Tom, it is really a privilege to have you on the station. Now, here's my question. You're in Anchorage, Alaska. All we know about Anchorage, Alaska is Ice Road Truckers, the History Channel show Ice Road Truckers. Tom Oakes, from your perspective as a person who lives in Anchorage, Alaska, how true is that show?
I would say most of it is true. I have no doubt, as with many of the reality shows and television, that there is some staging of situations.
Staging.
But as far as they're driving, getting across the road, that's by the book. They're following the laws, and they're doing their job. So I think it's a good representation. Same could be said about Deadliest Catch, which is probably far more dangerous, being out in the Bering Sea and whatnot, doing the fishing they do, than driving the trucks up to the North Slope.
But in 10 seasons of Ice Road Truckers, the truck has almost gone off the cliff every episode, but it never has gone off the cliff. How do they ever go off the cliff?
In reality, aside from the show, there are accidents up there. They haven't shown the accidents on television. But there are accidents, not that many, but they do occur because of the bad weather that does blow up out of nowhere along the road.
Now, Tom Oakes at KBYR in Anchorage, Alaska. You've lived in Anchorage, Alaska for 14 years. You came up there from Wisconsin. What is the biggest misconception that us poor mainlanders have of Alaska? What's the biggest misconception we have?
I don't want to shock too many people with this, but ladies and gentlemen, Alaska is a part of America. We just happen to be a few miles away from the lower 48. One of the strangest things I ever was told the first year or two I was here, we were working with a travel agent. So what's the strangest question you've ever had? And she didn't bat an eye. She just looked at me and said, people want to know if we accept American currency. I said, these are foreigners? I said, no. These are Americans asking. So we're truly a part of America. We do accept American currency. And by the way, there are no penguins in Alaska.
People who visit Hawaii, you know what the number one question is of mainlanders who visit Hawaii? You know what their number one question is?
No idea.
Do I need a passport?
That's a very good question.
My other question.
We don't need one.
Now, what do you do for entertainment up there? If it isn't a stripper, what is the entertainment in Anchorage, Alaska?
We have a very robust community up here.
Robust.
Plenty of arts and theater going on, plenty of concerts. And, in fact, you're calling on the first weekend of Pirandi. Pirandivous has been going on for decades. They just wrapped up the Pirandi Open World Open Championship sled dog racing today. Next weekend, we'll be kicking off the Iditarod ceremonial start in downtown Anchorage, then the actual restart up in Willow, Alaska, as 67 mushers and their teams will be working to get to Nome, Alaska, about 1,000-mile trek, to see who wins this year's Iditarod.
Plenty
of
Do you bet on that?
Of course, in the summer. What's that?
Do you place bets on that?
No. No. Who would have ever thought of doing that?
All right, listen, Tom Oakes, I really appreciate you letting us be on KBYR because we're live. And by the way, you know, you joined the great territory of Guam. Now we have the Pacific Rim covered in Anchorage, Alaska, and KBYR, and in Guam. Thank you so much, Tom. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Have you on.
There you go. There's the great Tom Oakes at KBYR in Anchorage, Alaska. Well, here we are, Walter Sterling, and I have a story for you, and I need to talk to you, because when I put together this show, I always try to think of what is it that would keep me up at night tonight? What is it that keeps you and me up? And usually it's trouble at work, problem with the in-laws, particularly your in-law, and always the sister-in-law. The sister-in-law is the primary cause of hell in every marriage. Your sister-in-law is in charge of your marriage. You never hear about trouble with the brother-in-law unless they're in jail, and if they're in jail, they're causing no trouble, not to you. But the trouble we always have is with the sister-in-law. But the thing that actually keeps us up at night most nights, rent or mortgage, paying the rent or mortgage, and trouble with the landlord, trouble with the mortgage, trouble with the mortgage bank. Every month, if you're a renter like me, every month there's the resentment. There's the resentment. And every month, if you're paying a mortgage, it's for 10, 15, 20, 30 years. So every month there's a resentment. Every month. What I'd like to know, what hell has your landlord put you through? Trouble with the landlord. Hell from your landlord or your past landlords. And the great thing is, you're anonymous. And my number is 888-688-WALT. And the good news for you is you don't have to talk to AJ tonight. Tonight you get to talk to Elena the K at 888-688-WALT, because this is what happened to me this week. The thing that renters dread most is to come home and there's some legally looking document tacked to our door, because that's always from the landlord. And sure enough, there's my rental house, nice house, nice neighborhood, and there's a legally looking document pasted to my door at 10 in the morning. And it said, oh, wait, you know what? I got it. Hold on. I didn't even remember I have it here. I will read it to you. I will read exactly what was on my door. You ready? You are being asked to leave the premises. If you do not leave, an eviction action may be initiated against you. If you are in doubt regarding your legal rights and obligations as a tenant, it is recommended that you seek legal assistance. And it's signed by an attorney. I'm like, what? You are being asked to leave the premises. If you do not leave, an eviction action may be taken against you. If you have any doubts, blah, blah, blah. It's for non-payment of rent. Non-payment of rent. I received that on the 20th. My rent's due on the 15th. Picture this. Every month, I walk into a miserable savings and loan bank, one of those 1950s-type savings and loan banks where the lobby is too big, all the furniture is too big, all of the teller stands are formal, the kind that that looks like in the movies with the teller cage, that kind, not a cool, modern, groovy TD bank. It's a real bank. You walk in, and it has that bank smell. That mixture of sweat, old furniture, maple wood, and bad perfume from the old lady who just sits there all day. In every bank, any savings bank you go into, there's always a 78-year-old woman sitting next to one of the bank officer desks, and she has a big purse on her lap and a flowered print dress. And she just sits there and likes to stare at her money or talk to her money. And I go into that bank every month rather than mailing in my rent, so we do not have an issue. My goal with every landlord is no issue. And I went in on the 15th, and I paid that rent. And I, thank you, God, got a printed receipt. And then on the 20th, that happened on the 15th, then on the 20th of this week, I get a notice to leave premises. You are being asked to leave the premises. If you do not leave, an eviction action may be initiated against you. If you are in doubt regarding your legal rights and obligations as a tenant, it is recommended that you seek legal assistance. You ever gotten one of those? 888-688-WALT. Well, I have my printed receipt that shows that I paid on the 15th. Now it's the 20th and I'm getting an eviction notice in 5 days? The only history I have of payment with this landlord is sometimes I've paid him 2 months early. I'm not a problem. I send the landlord an email. This is the sweetest moment. What is sweeter than being right with a landlord? What is sweeter than being right? I scan the receipt. I email it to my landlord. The subject line says, "You got your rent." And then he opened it up and it said, "On time." And there's the print of the receipt. I get an email back about 45 minutes later saying that, oh, once you sent me the rent by email, I was looking for that. I guess I should have looked at the account before I went to a lawyer. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you and I are waiting for money, the first place we look at is our account. He never looked at the account. He never checked. The bastard never checked the account. He made it up. He imagined he didn't get the rent. He just imagined it. He made it up. He went to a lawyer and made it up. Sends an eviction notice at 5 days, not 5 weeks, not 5 months. 5 days? Are you kidding me? And he did not apologize. Well, I have many bad landlord stories, and I want to hear yours. This is a way for you to exorcise them before you go to bed or you head out for the first shift, for the third shift tonight. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. I want to hear your mortgage hell stories. I want you to vent about your landlord. This is the chance. When I listen to talk stations, I hear them talking about all this Democrats and crossing the aisle and all of this nonsense. That's not what keeps me up.
I could crack a walnut down there if I needed to.
There's Jim from KMOX at 888-688-WALT. Hi, Jim. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday with Walter Sterling.
Hi, Walter. Thanks for taking my call. Well, I'm sorry you had a problem with notice with the attorney. And my nightmare landlord story is that I rented a place, and well, they're kind of funky people or whatever. But the main problem was it's a funky old place. But the main problem was that there's rats in it, and looking back on it, he knew that they were in there, right? Because of what he said to me when I signed the lease. But I thought to myself, well, you know, I've had everything, so I mean, if I got to take care of something, I can handle it, right? Well, think again. I was there. I started to know that they were there at about 6 months, and I spent like 2 hours a day. I spent hundreds of dollars on baits and traps and all different configurations. Finally, I had to go. 6 months I spent trying to catch. I never caught a single one of them. But man, before you move in a place, make sure there's no rats, because you cannot get rid of rats.
How did you get rid of them, Jim? What did you do, Jim? How did you get rid of them?
I finally had to move, and I told
you had to move.
Huh?
Did you pay rent?
Yeah, I did, because I agreed. He said to me, now if there's any pests in here, you got to get rid of them. And I thought to myself, well, I've had everything, you know. Well, I'll tell you what, this is the first time I ever had any pests in the house that I couldn't get rid of. But the thing is, I had to move, and I had to pay him. Oh, and he all but sued me for 1 year, because I went like 1 month over the 1 year lease.
Wow. Unbelievable. These are criminals. These are criminals. Landlords, every landlord I've ever known on some level is a criminal. 888-688-WALT. I want to know about your hell with landlords. I got an eviction notice for paying rent. I got an eviction notice and I paid the rent. And he didn't apologize when he realized he screwed up. He screwed up. But I was right. What is sweeter than being right? Coming up, we're going to talk more about landlord horror stories, trouble with mortgage companies. Your phone number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. And at 10:35 tonight, WLS 9:35, KXNT 7:35, I will reveal where and when we are going to do a broadcast from a Waffle House. We're going to do a live broadcast from a Waffle House, and I'm going to tell you where it is and when it is coming up in just seconds. Sterling on Sunday, Westwood One.
Sterling on Sundays. See Walter's secret filthy thoughts on Twitter during the show. Follow on Twitter, Walter M. Sterling.
I could crack a walnut down.
That's the worst.
All right, coming up at 40 minutes past the hour, we are going to reveal which Waffle House we will be broadcasting from live, and the date we will be broadcasting from live, and the amazing gift that you will receive when you come to visit us at the Waffle House. That will be revealed at 40 minutes past the hour. Shelley in Alaska, listening on KBYR. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Welcome.
Thank you.
Anchorage, Alaska.
Thank you. My horror story was in 2015. I moved due to marital issues. My husband and I had separated. I was on my own. And I moved back down from North Pole to Wasilla, Alaska. And fortunately, I found a place that was a two-bedroom with a washer and dryer in it. It was, you know, I had land, and it was within my budget. I meet with the gentleman. He's like a 78-year-old gentleman, like a grandpa kind of guy. And he goes, hey, you know, don't worry about your deposit. You know, I'll buy, you know, don't worry about any of that stuff. What we're going to do is, you know, you can work around my place, you know, cut the grass, things that I can't do, and you can, you know, use that towards your rent. So if you have issues or anything, I'm like, really? You would do that for me? You don't even know me. Really? He's like, yeah. So I put a deposit down on the place and plan on start moving in. Well, unfortunately, I got what they call cellulitis, which is a staph infection in my eye. And he had already given me the keys and everything, and I called him and let him know that, you know, listen, I got this infection in my eye. I can't come over right now because I can't see. But as soon as this is cleared up, and he starts screaming at me on the phone that you better get over here. And just, I'm like, who is this man? What happened to the grandfather that gave me a hug and told me he'd be there? You know, who is this man? So because I was in between a rock and a hard place, I had to move from where I was staying with friends. So I went ahead and I moved in, and when I was signing my lease, I took my glasses off. And when I got home, I go, oh man, I forgot my glasses at his house, which is on the same property. So I called him, and he's like, nope, there's no glasses here. I'm like, okay, are you sure? And he's like, yes. So I move into this place. I'd only seen it at night.
And there's the first lesson. You got to see them during the day. 888-688-WALT, an amazing story from Anchorage, Alaska, at KBYR. Landlord steals her glasses, makes her do hard labor for the rent. I want to know your landlord or mortgage horror story. My phone number is 888-688-WALT. And coming up in just seconds, I'm going to reveal to you which Waffle House we are going to be broadcasting from and when on Westwood One. Well, let's talk to Faith in Arkansas at 888-688-WALT. Hi, Faith.
Hi. It took me a few times to get your number. I'm a first-time listener.
Then let me say the number. It's 888-688-WALT. We're talking about landlord horror stories, the worst thing a landlord's ever done to you.
Well, okay. Well, I won't go to that one. It's too bad it's about my roof. But this one is, I've lived here about 11 to 12 years in the apartment complex, and I paid my rent. You have 5 days in which to pay it. But later in the month, I thought, you know, I've got this extra money. I'll go ahead and pay for next month because I'm thinking about being at a tending to a friend's sick mom. And so I thought, that'll be a good thing. I go and do it. They give me a receipt. And, it probably wasn't even 15 minutes later, I get an eviction notice placed on my front door. And it's like, if you don't pay this with however many days, you will be evicted. But it was like 3 to 5 days. It was really short. And I'm like, is she crazy? And I was the one that had to bring up the proof, even though she's got the computer and the files, you know, and the list, and I had never been late. And I had to kind of my receipt, you know, to show I did pay, you know, for the month that came. So anyway, but I had a rat story that's real quick, that I'd never had a rat in my kitchen till they remodeled my kitchen. And that's why I have the radio now, is because my daughter said if you have some loud noise in there, the rat won't come out. But I've never had a rat before. And they remodeled my kitchen. And all I could figure out is it came in through where they installed a dishwasher. So I'm like the guy. I'm the one trying to catch the rat. I had to get the poison. I had to get the draft. I had to get the catch a thing like a big net to try to catch it. And it's a scary rat. It's not a cute pet store rat. But anyway, I'm having to deal with that myself, even though we have 2 maintenance men on the property. So I hope I can move. Faith, yes, sir.
This is the first time that I have ever been told that we have the radio on loud, not because you love Sterling on Sunday, but to keep away rats. I'm glad that we have utility value for you. I got an eviction notice on the 20th of this week. And my rent's due on the 15th, and I paid the rent, and I had the receipt. I actually paid it at the bank. And the landlord, I come home, and there posted on our door is an eviction notice at 5 days late, except I had the receipt. He didn't look at his account. He imagined that he didn't get the rent. It isn't like he looked at the account and misread it. No. He did. He just imagined that he hadn't gotten his rent. Who the hell ever heard of an eviction notice at 5 days? I've heard of it at 5 weeks, 5 months, but 5 days, never heard of it. 888-688-WALT. Worst thing your landlord ever did to you. Worst thing your mortgage bank ever did to you. These are the things that keep you and me up. These are the things. There's Laura in Las Vegas at KXNT. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday at 888-688-WALT. Hi, Laura.
Hi. The worst thing mine has ever done to me was I went and paid my rent. I have congestive heart failure, and they've got people now above me that do drugs. And apparently the drugs do not mix with my heart medicine, so I'm having seizures now. And I have to ride the bus in order to find an apartment. And I made it back on the 5th day with my money order at 15 till 5. And the manager was not in the office, so I dropped the money order in the little drop slot. And the next day, on the 6th, I got a notice that said my rent was late. It had never been late before, and that I had 3 days in order to get out of my apartment.
They evicted you for 1 day late?
Yes, sir. The manager did not like elderly people.
Yeah, but you're not old.
Well, I'm 70.
You're not old. Do you want to play the cash call contest? Laura, do you want to play the cash call contest? Why don't you guess this mystery voice, and you might win the cash call jackpot, I'm eating a hot dog. The clue is this was the worst television landlord ever. Listen.
I promise to make your life a living hell. And I always keep my promise.
Who do you think that is?
My landlord.
All right, thanks very much for calling at 888-688-WALT. I paid my rent on time at a bank on the 15th. On the 20th, I come home, and there's an eviction notice posted on the door, not from a court, but from a landlord's lawyer. An eviction notice. I've been in this house for 3 years. The only thing I didn't pay on time was when I paid early. I get an eviction. I said, what the hell is this? I had paid on time. I printed out the receipt. Thank God. I email it to him, the receipt, and he sends me back this wuss email that doesn't say, I'm sorry. It doesn't say, I apologize. It doesn't say, hey, I'm sorry. Let me take your family to dinner. No. It just says, oh, I didn't look at the account. Maybe I should have. What? All right, everybody who calls in gets to play the cash call contest as long as I like the call. And there's David in Little Rock at KARN. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday at 888-688-WALT, landlord or mortgage bank horror stories. I love these stories. This is what really keeps us up. Not the Democrats in Congress. Who the hell cares about that crap? Nobody cares. You keep careening toward your one share. You just keep careening toward your one share.
I could crack a walnut down there if I needed to.
Hello, David.
Hey, how are you?
Okay.
Good. Hey, my landlord story, I had this guy that he rented me a duplex, gave me a great deal on it. It was about $150 a month. And said, you know, if I just clean it out from the last renters and fix it up, he'd give me that deal, you know. So I said, sure. So me and my dad, we'd put a lot of work into the place, painted it, retiled the floor, you know, did a little bit of plumbing and stuff, and, you know, put up this privacy fence. And anyway, it wasn't even a year later, here's the other part of the deal was that he said, you know, if we liked it, you know, after a year we could buy it, and he'd put what we paid towards rent as a down payment. I was like, great. Well, it wasn't even a year later. He shows up, he says he sold the place, and he had the new owner there. He wanted to take a look around, you know. Well, when we had redone the floor, I had made like a little secret compartment under a tile in the floor.
Yes.
So,
what, for you know, your porn or drugs? Why'd you have a secret compartment?
No, just, you know, like, I had my guns in, you know. Not drugs.
Porn? But, what about porn? Did you have porn in there?
No, I had a girlfriend. I didn't need it. But
that's when
anyway,
you need it more. You know, hey, right. David, that's when you need it more. Okay, so now what happened with the landlord and the secret compartment? Go ahead.
So, yeah, so, you know, he didn't even give me the opportunity to buy it, like you said. So, anyway, me and my dad, we go fishing down at the river, and we use chicken livers. So I took a bag of chicken livers. I put it in that secret compartment. I thought, going to have a lot of fun trying to find that smell.
Oh, that's the best story. That is the best story, David. You know what? That means you get to play the cash call jackpot.
That's not even the best of it. The best of
Wait, there's more. Go ahead,
yeah,
David.
Yeah, there's more. The fence that we just put up, we cut it down and took it with us, you know.
So you left him chicken livers in the floor, and you took the fence.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you, David.
I got a quick remedy, too, for the rats.
Yes.
You soak rags in bleach. Throw them in your attic, your basement, wherever the rats are at, and they'll be gone within a day.
Yeah, not New York City rats. Hey, David, you want to play the cash call jackpot?
Sure.
All right, you have to guess who this voice is, and the clue is she was the most evil landlord in television history.
I promise to make your life a living hell, and I always keep my promise.
Who do you think that is, David?
Gee, I don't know. I'll say Mrs. Right. Roper. She's the only one I could think of.
Thanks very much for calling. 888-688-WALT. Coming up in just seconds, I'm going to tell you where you and I are going to meet at a Waffle House, the date, and which Waffle House it's going to be. And we're going to have spectacular things there that evening. 888-688-WALT. Kathy in Sebring, Florida, where it's 80 degrees. Have you flown me down to Sebring, Florida yet?
Have I what again, Walt?
have you flown me there and my family for a winter holiday?
I haven't, no.
Let's make that a goal.
It's a very inviting, it's a very inviting place to visit.
Sebring, Florida, yes.
Yes, lots of fishing. And the reason I called is because I've heard lots of horror stories tonight relative to rentals as it relates to you. And I just thought, I have a duplex in Sebring, Florida that is very nice, and I am a dynamic landlord, and you certainly are welcome to relocate to Sebring, Florida.
All right, Kathy, thank you very much for calling 888-688-WALT. Day-to-day, our biggest problem isn't theoretical political action. Our day-to-day problem is paying the rent. Our day-to-day problem is not getting evicted. That's our problem, either from a mortgage or from our rent. You ready for this? 17% of Americans have been evicted. 17%. And most people who have been evicted get evicted again. It is assumed that the reason people get evicted is poverty. Turns out, being evicted causes poverty. If a person is evicted, it causes poverty, because then they are become extraordinarily reliant on their friends and family. They need to tap into the resources of their friend and family. And the other thing that it does, you get an eviction on your credit, that's a bad thing. What happens when you get a bad ding on your credit, like an eviction? All your expenses go up. Your credit card interest rates go up, or, gee, you can't get one. Or you have to get food stamps, or you have to get Medicaid. Or all of a sudden you can't get any credit cards. Or if you do borrow money, the interest rate is huge. That's how evictions cause poverty. What's interesting to me about this these clown sheriffs in Broward County, Florida, it's an interesting thing about the sheriff duty in general. In every county, in every state, the role of the sheriff is dramatically different. It depends on the county, the state, the city. In some counties, they run it. In some cities, they're a peripheral, incidental law enforcement organization. In some places, they don't have sheriffs. But Broward County is run by the sheriff's office. They control the fire department. Most of the fire departments in Broward County, Florida, are controlled by the sheriff. That doesn't happen most places. In most places, there's sort of a vague adversarial relationship between the police and the sheriff's department. But in most places, it is the sheriff who is responsible for evictions, not the police. Police don't want anything to do with evictions. They don't want anything to do with it. They'll only come along if you refuse to leave, and then they really have to be pressured, and it's usually a kabuki theater that the sheriff will pretend to call the police to get you out. But the fact is, what could be more cowardly than forcing a family to leave their home because they didn't pay their rent? Not that they destroyed the place or did drugs or had all kinds of weirdos running in and out all night. That's a different eviction. But they couldn't pay their rent. And there's a mom and a dad and little kids, and you come in with your big gun, big man, and you evict somebody. To me, that's a cowardly law enforcement action. And that's the same guy who stood outside and didn't run in to protect those high school kids. Same guy who'd evict you. All right. Mortgage trouble, landlord trouble. My phone number is 888-688-WALT. Everybody who calls in tonight gets to play the cash call game. Plus, you're not going to believe this story. So I had to get someone in St. Louis to actually explain this story. And coming up in the next hour, we're going to hear the explanation of what the hell the Missouri governor did. What did the governor of Missouri do? It's not a political story. This is like, what? And we'll talk about bad things our exes have done to us. But this governor, he's got the worst story ever. And plus, we're going to hear a remarkable coverage of the Olympics, the Winter Olympics. That's coming up. And I've been bugged and pushed to write a book. And I think I may have found the person who's going to inspire me to actually write the book. All of that and you at 888-688-WALT. Sterling on Sunday, Walter M. Sterling, Westwood One.
Walter M. Sterling.
Sterling on Sundays. Mr. Advertiser, your endorsement goes here.
Nobody will read a live endorsement as well as I will. And it's a very important thing that you buy advertising on this show because I have three daughters. And every problem they have seems to be solved at the Apple store. And then one day they're going to want to get married. Maybe it'll be a lesbian wedding, but it's still something I'm going to wind up paying for. And then they're going to want cars. And then they're going to want to go to college. In that order. Lesbian wedding, cars, college. Alan, you got a Taco Bell update? Because I have an update about stealing Splenda, too, at 888-688-WALT. Hi, Alan.
Hi, Mr. Sterling. But before I give you the update, I need you to change your first name because I put you in my phone as W.M. Sterling, and I was telling everybody, and they said, well, there's no William. So I need you to change your first name to William, if you would. But anyway, you can contemplate that. I just wanted to give you a quick update because I told you that Taco Bell hired me. I'm a chopper. I work an hour and a quarter a day, and I chop 41.6 pounds of onions. And I was so good, they increased my hours. I am now the cheese cup refiller. I have a super squirter, and I can fill 117 cups of cheese in 4 minutes.
Do you get a certificate for that?
All the salt and pepper.
Do you get a certificate for that?
I think it's forthcoming. I have great hopes anyway. You know, I mean, I have such self-pride and self-worth that, you know, it would really bolster, my whole attitude, you know, and feelings about my self-worth. You know, it would really be tremendous. So,
Alan, do you just want to co-host the show with me?
I mean, I would rather buy some sponsorship.
Thanks very much for calling, Alan, from Sebring, Florida at 888-688-WALT. Coming up in just seconds, I'm going to reveal to you where we're going to meet at the Waffle House, which Waffle House we're going to be at live, and when. Sterling on Sunday, Westwood One.
Join the Walter M. Sterling Club.
I'm Stacy, and I'm not afraid to let Walter M. Sterling have an email at my company. His new email is walter@stacysentiretreeservice.com.
I could crack a walnut down there if I need.
Oh, it's the worst.
I could crack a walnut down there if I needed to.
All right, 888-688-WALT, and we welcome to Sterling on Sunday. I'm Walter Sterling, WBMQAM in Savannah, Georgia. It's a big signal. It's at 6:30 on the AM band. That means it's a big signal. WBMQ, welcome. And KUJ 1420, Walla Walla, Washington. I believe the sales department says that counts for California. You put in Anchorage, Alaska, Guam, and Walla Walla, Washington. That covers California. They're going to count that as the California market. KUJ, because, you know, Drew Hayes, you couldn't lift one up, Drew, to put me on KABC. That would kill you. And Tom Oakes at KBYR in Anchorage, Alaska, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. How are you? What I do is different. Oh, and we're on WPHT and KMOX and WLS and WMAL-FM. Bill Hess, thank you for all the nice things you say. WMAL, home of Mary Walter, who does mornings because I gave her her first job in radio. But, you know, I also gave Craig Schwab his first program director job, and that hasn't paid off for me at all. So many complexities in the radio industry. What I do all week is I pay attention to the things you and I actually care about. And what you and I actually care about is not the inner workings of Congress. Could care less. I worry about my landlord, my rent, I'd worry about my mortgage if I could get a mortgage, but I'm in show business, so I can't get a mortgage. That's impossible. And I know the rules and regulations of work make us insane. You're driving an 18-wheeler, you have more rules and regulations made up by people who can't even drive a car. It's crazy what 18-wheelers have to put up with. And you know that if you drive from Pittsburgh to Philadelphia, your toll isn't a cute little $60 like it is for me. You're driving an 18-wheeler, it's a $1,000 toll to pay for a road that's been paid for since 1948. That money is going to who? Criminals. It's going to criminals. And we worry about our exes. Could there be lurking, stalking, trouble from exes? The worst thing an ex ever did to me, was she took a whole bunch of her underwear and mailed it to my home where I was living with new girlfriend. New girlfriend opens it up. There's ex's underwear. How could that be a good day? But Ryan Recker has a story about the governor of Missouri that I started to read and study. I'm like, this is the worst ex story I ever heard. And rather than extrapolate all the news stories for you and try to comprehend this from the Missouri perspective, Ryan Recker, star of KMOX, everybody there is very nervous in the daytime about you, Ryan, because they know you're better than they are. They're all worried that you're going to get their jobs, and you will. And you will. But I know you're very pleasant in the hall, so you're not threatening physically. But I know your talent is threatening to all of them. And Ryan, tell me this story, this incredible story about what happened to the governor of Missouri this week.
You know, I'll tell you the facts, and I'll tell you what I think's happening here, too. So last month, the governor of Missouri, it was announced, actually publicly, because there was rumors of this dating back years ago, that there was an affair before he ran for governor that involved a woman inside of his, I guess, gym workout area, where there was some sexual escapades going on. And what ended up happening was there, inside of this, and of course him being married, this is not good. The woman was married too. Both of them were having an extramarital affair. There was a question of if there were some photographs or possibly blackmail used during these photographs when they were having these moments together. At the time, it was consensual. There was no question about that. They met up before. They continued to meet after that. After it broke off, the governor, eventually became governor. He ran for office and won. And then this news came out as the divorce of the woman and her ex-husband came out. There was some tapes released. The news media got a hold of it. They started reporting it that then, before he was governor, but now Governor Eric Greitens of Missouri, was someone that was involved in this extramarital affair. There was some allegations that the photos may have been used as blackmail to try to keep her quiet. And there was even allegations that there were photos, because there was denial of those to begin with, which leads us up to last week, which there was an indictment. One of the prosecutors here in the city of St. Louis decided to look into this, went to a grand jury, presented the evidence, and they had an indictment for a felony invasion of privacy, which states that this woman's photograph was taken without her permission in a very private manner. In this case, she would have been nude or partially nude. And then that photo was transmitted to a computer somehow. The governor is actually saying there was no use of blackmail. They're not using the word blackmail in this indictment either. All they're saying is that this photo may exist and it may have been transmitted and it may have broken the law. So the governor's fighting this now, and of course no one's happy. Everyone's very upset.
But Ryan, you missed the key part of this story, the story that intrigued me most. Who broke the news about this alleged photo? Who revealed there might be a photo? Was it the scorned woman? Was it the governor's wife? Who revealed about this photo?
Well, it was the, you want to say maybe the recording on audio of the ex-husband of the woman. So he records a conversation with his ex-wife talking about everything that went on with Missouri Governor Eric Greitens. And he releases this audio so people can hear it, because he said the story was about to come out. It was better he put it out. So it was the ex-husband.
This is the ex from hell. This woman did not ask for this to be put out, right?
No, in fact, the woman very specifically did not want any of this. It was the ex-husband that was pushing for this, very hard to get this information out. I think they've already gone through it. Again, they're anonymous at this point. They're not being named publicly. So it was going through divorce hearings, and I think they're already divorced. It was after the fact. All of this stuff came out.
They're already divorced. They are already divorced.
Right, right. And in this case, to me, this is the part where I look at that and say he was someone that sees the governor or someone in a high position, broke up his family. He was very hurt by that, decides to release this and try to hurt as many people as possible.
Ryan Recker of KMOX. The governor of Missouri has been indicted for some acute, bizarre, maybe invasion of privacy. This makes no sense that the DA in St. Louis doesn't have better things to do, like examine price gouging when a family moves from one part of the state to the other, mm-hmm. or all the heroin flowing into East St. Louis. Why don't you worry about all the heroin flowing into East St. Louis instead of some governor who may or may not have taken a picture and some angry ex who wants to take advantage of the situation and humiliate? And that's, by the way, the only person I think he wants to hurt is his ex-wife. What do you think is really going on here, Ryan Recker?
Well, I do think when I listen to this story is that the divorce being over, he's very hurt. You know, this marriage is ruined. The governor's marriage is fine. And the fact that they've worked through it, him and his wife, Sheena, have gone through all of this and you know, they've moved past it. This happened in 2015 before he ran for governor. Right now, I feel like there is almost a scorched earth because she didn't want any part of this. And, you know, it's kind of interesting because the way that recording conversations work, you only need the consent of one person in the state of Missouri, meaning as long as someone knows they're being recorded, it's fine. He records this conversation with his then ex-wife, saves it, and then releases it after the fact. And now this is all the information that's coming out, which goes to show that there was some intention for him to use it. She didn't want any of this. In fact, she didn't want any of this to come out. She wanted to save the embarrassment. She wanted to move on. And
of course.
It was consensual. So she just wanted to stop it and say, be done with it. But it was, to me, it all appears that the ex-husband, once this information came out, you had other investigators coming in, putting a lot of pressure on both of them to come out and testify, which they were both, when I'm looking at the indictment here, that when they went to the grand jury, they were quoted as witnesses. They only have their initials. They don't have their full names. But it helped lead to the invasion of privacy charge that came up against the governor this week.
Ryan Recker, in my opinion, the ex-husband who released this data, in my opinion, to hurt his ex-wife, he should be forced to reveal his name. There's not a reason in the world. He's not a priest. He's not a doctor. There's not a reason in the world where his name should not be released, causing this sort of hell. But my question really is, the district attorney of St. Louis, don't you have better things to do? Don't you? Let's take a walk at noon through any part of East St. Louis you want. Let's just walk through any part of East St. Louis you want. Look at any block and see if you don't have something better to do. These crooked politicians, I hate them all, Ryan. All right, Ryan Recker, thanks very much for being on Sterling on Sunday. Thank you very much for revealing this incredible waste of time, an insane waste of time. But it does give me an excuse to introduce a topic. And the topic it gives me an excuse is worst thing your ex ever did to you. This is, in my opinion, this whole story about this governor of Missouri, he took a picture of some woman, allegedly, he threatened to use it for blackmail, allegedly, it got transferred to a computer, allegedly. It's a nonsense story. Ruining that poor man's career and hurting your ex, that's one of the worst things I've ever heard anybody do to an ex. The worst thing any ex ever did to me, she shipped underwear to my home, where I was living with new girlfriend. New girlfriend opens the box of underwear. Bad day. But I'd like to know the worst thing your ex ever did to you. Ex-boyfriend, ex-girlfriend, husband, wife. My phone number is 888-688-WALT. Sterling on Sunday, 888-688-WALT. You have ugly coffee mugs. I've seen them. They're chipped, stained. But gosh darn, we're going to hang on to that coffee mug. Let me tell you, if you're using a bad coffee mug, an ugly coffee mug at work, it's hurting your career. Because, for example, if you work at some media companies, you're not allowed to get new paper cups. They're not going to do it anymore. You have to bring in your own and make sure you wash it. Don't expect anyone else to wash it. These rules, these work rules are insane. But I'm going to save you from the embarrassment of an ugly coffee mug. You want to know how? You're going to be able to trade in your ugly coffee mug for a brand new Waffle House coffee mug. A Waffle House coffee mug. But in order to do that, you're going to have to come to the broadcast. We're going to broadcast live from a Waffle House. Live from a Waffle House. You bring your ugly old coffee mug, and it will be exchanged for a new Waffle House coffee mug. And wait, there's more. The ugliest coffee mugs, say like the 5-10 ugliest ones, the 5-10 ugliest ones.
Waffle House, White House, same initial.
You bring that ugly coffee mug to the Waffle House broadcast that's coming up. We're going to broadcast live from a Waffle House. You bring your ugly coffee mug to it. We'll exchange it for a new Waffle House one free. Plus, the 10 ugliest ones are going to get a gift certificate to Waffle House. Could there be anything more generous? Could anything be greater?
One car!
Nope. This is better.
One car!
Nope.
Two cars!
This is better. You're going to be able to exchange your ugly coffee mug for a new Waffle House coffee mug. And the ugliest coffee mugs could win a cash prize. That's pretty good. Going to broadcast live from a Waffle House. Wait. Which Waffle House, Walter? Which one? And when? Because I want you to come. I want you to show up. You and I get to share time together. I'll put you on the radio if you want to go on the radio. You'll get to watch me eat a waffle. What? Oh, that's right. They said I also have to work the grill. I also have to work the grill in the Waffle House. The PR people said, and you're going to work a grill. Okay. And then my kids said, oh, we want to watch you work a grill. I do a podcast. It's called Old Dad Secrets. Old Dad Secrets. If you go to iTunes and search Old Dad Secrets, episode 223, the newest one, episode 223 at Old Dad Secrets on iTunes, you will hear on that podcast where the Waffle House is. And the date. Go to iTunes, download the podcast, Old Dad Secrets at iTunes, or TuneIn, or Spotify, or Stitcher. Download it, listen, and you will hear which Waffle House and when. You'll be able to bring your old ugly coffee mugs and exchange them for brand new Waffle House coffee mugs for free. That's not a bad deal for a talk show at 11 o'clock at night. That's pretty good. Everybody who calls in tonight at 888-688-WALT gets to play the cash call game. All you have to do is know who this is.
I promise to make your life a living hell, and I always keep my promise.
The worst landlord in the history of television. But right now I want to hear the worst thing your ex ever did to you. Your ex horror stories. Scorned lovers. Nothing more terrifying than a scorned lover. And the things they do. I've been stalked. I've had underwear sent to me. Not a good plan. What's your story, buddy? What's your story? 888-688-WALT. Sterling on Sunday. I'm live. Unbelievable. You know what? Next week I have to compete with the damn Academy Awards. They put me on up against the Grammys, the Oscars, the Emmys, the Billboard Awards, the People's Choice Awards, the Super Bowl. I don't see the Morning Men on at this time because they couldn't handle it. They couldn't handle it. This is Westwood One.
Walter M. Sterling.
Sterling on Sundays. Get closer to Walter than ever before. Brand new podcast ready now. Download from iTunes. Download Old Dad. Old Dad on iTunes.
Old Dad Secrets, that's where you will discover the location and date of our Waffle House broadcast. I'd love for you to come to this broadcast. You're going to want to bring the ugliest coffee mug you've got, and we will exchange it for a brand new free Waffle House coffee mug. Plus, the ugliest coffee mugs will get a gift card to Waffle House. Now, what do other talk show hosts give you? What, tickets to Paul McCartney? Who the hell needs that? You know, my love, na na na. That's it. You know what it is. You don't need that. But to come and see me broadcast is something that very few people have seen and very few want to see. But if you come, you're going to get a brand new Waffle House coffee mug if you bring an ugly coffee mug. It's an ugly coffee mug exchange in person at a Waffle House. Go to Old Dad Secrets, Old Dad Secrets at iTunes. It's a podcast. Download it. So the sales department will get sweaty and excited. Well, you know, he has 30,000 downloads on his podcast. Do that. And in that podcast, number 223, podcast 223, the brand new one, you will hear not only an amazing interview with a 15-year-old girl talking about life in high school this week and what she thinks should be done about the terror and horror show in high schools this week. But you're also going to find out which Waffle House that you will be at and you and I get to meet. That's a pretty good deal. Old Dad Secrets. That's the name of the podcast. And you can get it at iTunes. Old Dad Secrets at iTunes. Welcome WBMQ AM 630 in Savannah, Georgia, and KUJ in Walla Walla, Washington, and KBYR in Anchorage, Alaska. I want to hear bad things that exes have done to you. And I am live at 30 past the hour. My phone number is 888-688-WALT. The name of the show is Sterling on Sunday. I claim to be Walter Sterling, depending on how much money I owe you. 888-688-WALT on Westwood One.
Sunday on Facebook. Walter M. Sterling. Post your Facebook comments at Walter M. Sterling.
I'm Stacy, and I'm not afraid to let Walter M. Sterling have an email at my company. His new email is walter@stacysentiretreeservice.com.
If you go to my Facebook page, Walter M. Sterling, S-T-E-R, Walter M. Sterling, on Facebook, the very first posting links you to my podcast, Old Dad Secrets. And in that podcast, the brand new podcast, you will find out which Waffle House I will be broadcasting from and when. You can bring your crappy old mug to that broadcast and get a brand new Waffle House mug. Won't that be fantastic? That'll be the best thing you've ever brought home, besides that rash. There's Adam Peterson. Adam Peterson has done something that for years people have told me I need to do. They say, you know, you need to write a book. You should write a book. You should put this in a book. I'm like, why? I'm on the air. I'm on all these 50,000-watt radio stations like KDKA, WPHD, WLS in Chicago. WLS in Chicago and KMOX in St. Louis. And so proud to be on every single one of them because it's the only way those kids are going to get through college. But there's Adam Peterson. You're in college. How old are you?
I'm 21.
And how long did it take you to write a book?
It took me a little over a year, I would say.
Because whenever I'm told you should write a book, at some point somebody says, well, you know, it's really hard to write a book. Was it really hard to write a book, Adam Peterson?
Yes, it's really, really hard. I've been writing short stories since I was about 12. And I was confident as a writer. You know, I always liked to create stories and once I started thinking I had an idea for a longer story that would be novel length, I thought it wouldn't be a big deal. I thought to myself, I know how to write, and I've done shorter stuff, and it wouldn't be a big deal. It is a really big deal. It's a lot harder, I think, just because of the discipline that's necessary to stick with a project over a really long period of time. And when you get stuck and you don't know where to go next with the story, it's really frustrating, and especially when you're someone like me who's not a professional writer who's being paid to do it, and you have other commitments that sometimes prevent you from working on the story when you really want to. It's very difficult to get through, for sure.
Which college are you in?
San Diego State.
Is that actually a college?
I don't go to an Ivy League school, so, I mean, yeah, and I'm a film major, so, yeah, I mean, I'm not, like, I don't have the toughest academic course load in the world, but I mean, I do still go to school full time, and I also work as a tutor in the writing center on campus, helping people with their papers and stuff like that. So, I mean, I certainly have other commitments. I can't just spend all my time on the story.
You wrote a novel. How many pages is the novel?
It came out about 350 in the final printed version.
350-page novel. You wrote a 350-page novel in a year. Tell me about your day. Tell me how you structured your day, because Anne Rice and Stephen King, known novelist, they always say this is a job. They start at 9 and they work till 5. They don't leave. They sit down and have the discipline to write their novel every day like they're going to IBM. How did you do it, Adam Peterson?
I think what they say is wise, and I'd like to be able to do that eventually. I didn't really have that luxury for the reasons I was just talking about. And my schedule is different day to day with college classes. You know, some days I don't have class at all. Other days I have class for 8 hours. It's very inconsistent. So I didn't really have the ability to set a rigid schedule where I'd write certain days from certain times. I really did just do it when I had the ability to. And when I felt fresh enough and energetic enough to do it. Some days, if I'd come home from class and feel too tired, I wouldn't push it if I knew it wasn't going to be good. I would write a lot on weekends if I had less going on. I'd try to, or if I had a break, like over Christmas when you have extra time off, I'd try to utilize it. But yeah, day to day, I didn't really have the ability to have a consistent schedule. I would just set goals for myself. The book split into four parts, and so I would set goals for myself when I'd start a part. Like I should be done with this part within the next couple weeks or something like that. But day to day, it was definitely not consistent.
Adam Peterson, what is the name of your novel?
Yeah, that'd be helpful probably. It's called Reclaim Your Mind, which some people have brought up. Sounds like a self-help book. It is not. It's a fictional novel. But I guess it was called that because for me, the process was very much, it was a self-help book for myself in a way. I was in a very, I was very disillusioned about a lot of things when I started to write this book. I was in sort of a difficult mental place, sort of wondering a lot of things about myself, about the world, about my future. And the act of writing that book really was a way for me to reclaim my mind. I felt like I had to take control of myself and my future. In a way, I realize.
I don't know, Adam. That sounds pretty grandiose. Is this a fun book? Is there sex in the book?
No, not really.
Damn.
It's no. I mean, it probably is pretty grandiose, as you put it.
No, not the book. Your goal of finding yourself and all that stuff. Is this an entertaining book? A serious book? A sad book? Tell me about your novel quickly.
I hope it's entertaining, but it is serious. It's a love story more than anything else. It's a romance that spans throughout time. The first part is in 1996. The last part's in 2064. There's four different narrators. It covers all sorts of different genres. I mean, like I said, it's a love story at its core, but it dips a lot into fantasy. It goes into other worlds. There's sort of a sci-fi element to the future part. It's a bit of a coming-of-age story. You know, the narrators are all young, and I tried to capture a lot of the experiences of what I was going through in college, you know, maturing and learning things about the world. So it covers a lot of different things. It's a very non-traditional narrative, so it's hard to describe in a short
time. I can't begin to tell you what a hero you are to me, because the reason I wanted to talk to you is that you are 21, and you've written a freaking book. You've written a 350-page novel. I'm lucky if I can get through a blog. I'm thrilled if I get a 1,000-word. If they say, gee, could you write a 1,000 words? I'm like, 1,000 words? What is this, an English class? All right, what's the name of your book one more time, Adam?
Reclaim Your Mind.
Reclaim Your Mind. I'm going to tweet it. I'm going to put it on my Facebook page. It's by Adam Peterson. Adam Peterson, Reclaim Your Mind. Thank you so much for being on Sterling on Sunday. I am very deeply jealous that you're going to San Diego State, because I went to a school that you get to by luge. I went to Syracuse University, where there are two seasons, winter and the 4th of July. Thanks, Adam. Thanks very much for being on Sterling on Sunday. My phone number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. I'm glad it isn't a self-help book. I don't think there's a greater scam than self-help books. You look at the titles of self-help books now, 5 years ago, 30 years ago, 5 ways to get a raise, 20 ways to get ahead, 8 ways to take care of your child's genius, 22 ways to spot special skills in your child, how to make sure your child's a success, how to make sure your next career is a home run. Never, never has anybody gone into a bookstore, picked up a book called 8 Ways to Be Successful, What CEOs Know, Secrets of MBAs. No one's ever gone into a bookstore, picked up one of those books, and 2 months later become the General Motors Chief Executive Officer. They've never become the CEO of GM after reading a self-help book. And the one thing that nobody wants to admit to, nobody wants to talk about in high schools, colleges, educators, psychologists, psychiatrists, the thing nobody wants to admit to is there's this other factor. The other factor to success is this thing called talent. And if you come from a long family of meatheads, genetically, your brain is spaghetti. You're not going to be the CEO of GM. You're not going to be able to overcome your genetics. I know that's very unpopular. It's not PC to say that. But the fact is, we're born with flat feet or green eyes or left-handed or right-handed, but we also have a certain composition in our brain. And maybe you're one of the sharp ones, good for you, and you can make it a little sharper by working hard. But the odds are, you know, you're a meathead. The odds are you got spaghetti brains. And you're just sort of clumping along, just lumping along, working the toll. Just, you know, you're very happy to get promoted to shift manager. And that's not a bad thing. It's not a not noble thing. But the self-help book, sorry, bears no relationship to reality. That woman who's the CEO of General Motors, she did not read any self-help books. She was born that way. Yes, we can overcome these things. We can work a little harder and do a little better. But you got spaghetti in the brain. You got ground beef in the brain. It's at birth. No one ever says this. No one ever admits it. The self-help books, the educated, the psychologists, none of them admit it. I want to talk to Larry Wax. Where is Larry Wax? Because we need an update from the bunker in the Southeast about the Olympics. I was looking at these Olympics, and it's like porn. You look at the figure skaters, and it's like watching porn. They got the skimpy outfits. The breasts are pouring out. And they got that music going on, that cheesy music. No, really, we need to call Larry Wax. You guys listening? Hey, the show's over here. Hi. We need to call Larry Wax and get him on the show because it's scheduled for 2 minutes ago. And, you know, it's like a Swiss watch. Now, let me go back to this because I've gotten a lot of emails and calls since we've been talking about this. You want to know which Waffle House. We're going to broadcast from a Waffle House. And a lot of people have sent me Facebook notes and begged and said, where's it going to be and what date? When are we going to have the Waffle House show? The answer is on my podcast. If you go to my podcast on Apple iTunes or TuneIn or Stitcher or Spotify, the name of the podcast is Old Dad Secrets. Old Dad Secrets. On the current podcast, number 223, you will hear which Waffle House and when. It's on that podcast. You got to go to the podcast, download it, Old Dad Secrets, and it will reveal which Waffle House and when. All right. Do we have Larry Wax? One of you want to talk to me? Or else I'll just move on to something else. What are you getting him now? Why isn't he on? Where? What? What? Now, every time you call, you get to play the cash call game. And to play the cash call game, you have to guess who this is.
I promise to make your life a living hell. And
the worst landlord ever. That's the worst landlord ever. Play the cash call game, 888-688-WALT. Guess who this is?
I promise to make your life a living hell, and I always keep my promise.
And you can win.
I could crack a walnut down there if I needed to.
Have you watched this Adam Rippon at the Olympics? Have you watched that figure skater?
Well, you know what? I think in this sport in particular, that it's sort of like an eye roll. You're like, oh, of course you're gay. You're a figure skater.
Sure.
And I'm like, well, you have a point.
Cool, enjoy being a guy, having a girl like me.
You put the boom boom into my heart. Do you have a crush on Adam Rippon, Larry Wax?
He is adorable, Walter.
Do you have a crush on him?
Yes, of course.
I am a proud gay American, and I think it's really important, especially in this political climate, that we stand for what we think is right.
Oh my God, he's America's sweetheart, Walter. Of course.
Larry Wax, would you please give us a report on your perception of the Olympics, the Winter Olympics?
Well, America's at a crossroads with regards to the Olympics, because that was the gayest Olympics in history. I did some research, and it is a fact. It was the gayest Olympics in the history of American sport. And I saw something on Fox News which said American Olympic officials are taking a and this is what they said, not me, a quote unquote hard look at the direction of the Olympic team, since it was the lowest medal count I think in 20 years, they said. And they want to take a look at what's going wrong. And I say, maybe it's time to decide to go in that direction. The direction, I think the Summer Olympics, they should strive to make it even gayer than this Winter Olympics.
It's already in Speedos. How much gayer could it get?
I don't know. That's a good question. We have to explore. But, if you remember the Olympics back at its roots, back in the Greek days, Olympics started out as a way for men to wrestle nude with one another. It wasn't really a sport, right? I mean, that's how they started. And I think this Olympics really got back to the roots of what the Olympics really means, which is men wrestling nude with one another. Now, back in the days of the Greek Olympics, of the origins, the women started inquiring, like, what are you doing? What are you doing with the men wrestling nude? And they said, "Oh no, it's competition. We're not really grappling. We're not even not caressing one another. We're doing a competition." So they developed the Olympics as a kind of a cover for all this undercover
gay activity. Larry, it was a cover for gay activity. Coming up, I want to hear more about your perception of the Winter Olympics. Larry Wax in our Southeast bunker in a secret location is going to reveal more secrets of the Winter Olympics in just seconds. With Sterling on Sunday on Westwood One.
Download the podcast. Get it from iTunes. Download Old Dad. Old Dad from iTunes.
Not afraid to let Walter M. Sterling have an email at my company. His new email is walter@stacysentiretreeservice.com.
Every email I get, I answer. And be sure to look at Facebook, Walter M. Sterling on Facebook, and Twitter, Walter M. Sterling at Twitter. I update these all the time. I put out amazing new pictures, new stories, and there's Larry Wax, who's in our Southeast bunker. We're talking about the Olympics. We're talking about the amazing Winter Olympics.
I am a proud gay American.
Cool, enjoy being a guy, having a girl like me.
And Larry Wax, your position is, as I understand it, is that the Olympics should not just be occasionally gay, but they should be openly and aggressively gay.
Fabulous first, athletic second, yes.
I look at the figure skaters, and it looks like porn to me. They're grinding against each other. They're wearing those skimpy outfits. Boobs are flying everywhere. And what about the sexual harassment? I mean, that guy's hands, where are his hands?
It's all over the place. I mean, it's a fest. It's unbelievable. I mean, Walter, everybody knows that the Olympic athletes, I mean, come on, they're not the best in the world. Some are, but most aren't. The pros are the best in the world. Olympic athletes usually, you know, they go on to become commentators or circus performers, maybe lesbian spokespeople, but they're not the best athletes in the world. We no longer believe that. So I think going in this direction might be better for the U.S. Olympic team.
Should they be nude?
Well, there's children watching, so maybe not. Maybe, I don't know, maybe you have a special, I don't want to say Special Olympics, because that's a whole different thing. You might want to have a separate channel for that, yes. I mean, you could have some games where there's nude curling, which would be interesting, and have a camera, like, embedded under the ice. That would be something else, but you'd have to put that on a private subscriber-only channel to keep it.
But the thing about curling and the luge is, in our daily lives, at no time do we encounter curling or the luge. We don't know what a good luge run looks like. We only know that the guy could get killed. And with curling, we really don't understand what that brushing is all about. That's all very strange. We don't understand these sports.
Exactly.
Therefore, if they were nude, I think it would be a lot better. There's Larry Wax. What's the name of your podcast?
The WACHS Modcast, and it's available on iTunes and Google Play, get the app, or houseofwachs.com.
Thank you very much, Larry Wax. This is Sterling on Sunday. I'm Walter Sterling, and you and I are listening to Westwood One.
Walter M. Sterling.
Join the Walter M. Sterling Club.
And I'm not afraid to let Walter M. Sterling have an email at my company. His new email is walter@stacysentiretreeservice.com.
Every email gets answered. Stacy's Entire Tree Service is a business based in Little Rock, Arkansas. When Westwood One was ashamed to give me a Westwood One email address, and CBS was ashamed to give me a CBS email address because of SOX compliance. Shove it. Shove it up your socks. What kind of crap is that, SOX compliance? I have read the Sarbanes-Oxley Act, 260 pages, looking for where it says, don't give Walter Sterling a company email address. I have looked. Gee, it's not in there. They're all worried about Enron and Global Crossing. That's what the Sarbanes-Oxley Act is about. It's not about Westwood One or CBS. It's about Global Crossing and Enron. Worry about that. You know, Bitcoin funded Enron, I guarantee. I said, if you have a retail business, let me use your email address because it makes much more sense than me promoting Google. Why the hell should I go on all these radio stations and promote Gmail, Google? It's a lot of crap. Instead, Stacy stepped up and said, you can use Stacy's Entire Tree Service. She listens to K-A-R-N in Little Rock. Peter Thiel's fiefdom, Doc Washburn's fiefdom. She lets me use her email address because it makes much more sense to promote a business that I care about than to promote Google. What'd I do? There.
I'm Stacy.
I get all excited.
And I'm not afraid to let Walter M. Sterling have an email at my company. His new email is walter@stacysentiretreeservice.com.
I could crack a walnut down there if I needed to.
Oh, it's the worst.
888-688-WALT. Midnight Misfits, welcome. Welcome. There are my Midnight Misfits. If you'd like to be a Midnight Misfit, if you'd like to finally fit in, you can. There's Shannon McNeish and Ann Knupp. Ann Knupp has pneumonia. And so I've said a prayer for Ann. That doesn't mean anything, but I've done what I can do, Ann. I hope you feel better. I hope you feel better soon. But if you get pneumonia, do not mess with it. Whatever the doctor says about pneumonia, that's what you're going to do. People die of pneumonia. You find out a week ago they were fine, and then a week later they've died of pneumonia. How is it possible to die of pneumonia? Pneumonia is not bronchitis. It's not a sore throat. It's not even a cough. You may have no symptoms and die of pneumonia. If anything doesn't feel right, if you're really tired, if you feel faint, it could be pneumonia. Get it checked. And then do what the doctor says. Don't tough it out. You're not going to tough it out. Pneumonia is tougher than you. How many people have you heard, well, you know, last week they were fine, and then they died of pneumonia? Rebecca Canner, welcome. Dennis Cote, Frankie Reds, Emily McNamara, Elizabeth Johnson, D. Wells, the fantastic D. Wells, and Nathan T., my new buddy. Hey, Nathan. There's Neil Paul and Judy Anderson. Welcome. Martin Connor, Rosemary Furlong, and her mom. Kenneth Barnett, Carl Nappy, Long Scott Michael, David Lynch, Robert Gaw, and Frankie Reds. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. I want all of you to show up at the Waffle House and join me at the Waffle House. Bring your ugliest coffee mug, the ugliest coffee mug you got, and we will exchange it for a brand spanking new Waffle House mug for free. And the ugliest ones will get a gift card for cash at the Waffle House. And you will, are you ready for this? Elena, Matt, are you ready for this? You get to watch me eat waffles. Which Waffle House is this going to be? Go to Old Dad Secrets on iTunes or TuneIn or Spotify. That's the name of my podcast, Old Dad Secrets. Download it. Download the new one, episode 223. Brand new. Came out today. I've also put the link on my Twitter account, put the link on my Facebook account. That should make it easier for those of you who are very confused by iTunes. And by the way, the thing with iTunes, you know, they treat it like it's freaking sacred. It's a mess. I've had more trouble making things work on iTunes than I do with my bladder. Go to iTunes and download it. You got to download it so the sales department counts it. Because, you know, unless it's a quarter of a million downloads, it doesn't count. Yeah, I can sell more damn product than this crap.
Welcome to Pod Save America. I'm John Favreau.
I'm Dan Pfeiffer.
On the pod today, we will have a portion of Tommy's interview with Samantha.
Oh, my God. Oh, let me just kill myself.
That's the worst.
I could crack a walnut down there if I needed to.
But my podcasts are interesting, and it's a way for us to stay in touch during the week. Because until we get more program directors with senses of humor that want to air us 5 days a week, and it will happen. The law of attraction. The law of attraction. The law of attraction.
Waffle House. White House. Same initials.
I will be on 5 days a week because I have to. I have to put these kids through college.
Waffle House. White House. Same initials.
Or they're going to wind up at Temple.
Now, Sterling on Sunday helps college grads find themselves. Tonight, straight out of Temple, an actuality play steeped in reality.
You have to understand where you are in life in order to thrive in life.
Are you saying that life is ruthless?
Where's Ruth?
First, do you know where you are in life?
It looks like a big city. Where am I?
You're in Philadelphia.
Philadelphia? Fantastic. I've made it into show business. I'm in a Tom Hanks movie already? Do I have an IV bottle?
That's a malt liquor.
I've been drinking this and nothing else for 4 years.
Do you know how to find your way in life?
I certainly know where I can throw up.
Well, we have reviewed your transcripts and feel that you are eligible for... Well, it appears the only skill you have after 4 years is one that will make you a father.
Is Temple a Hebrew school?
Next time on Straight Out of Temple...
Wing Bowl is my dream.
Straight Out of Temple is based on facts and is not associated with Chicago's Mayor Daley. Or Guam. Lesbians in Space is now.
Cool and joy, be.
I am a proud gay American.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in Space.
Who wear sports bras.
I'm so sorry, Mr. Scorpion. But, Natalie, ever since we tried on underwear together, I realized something. I've been living a lie also.
Karen.
I'm so sorry, Mr. Scorpion. But, Natalie, ever since we tried on underwear together, I realized something. I've been living a lie also.
Karen.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in Space.
Who wear sports bras.
What I don't understand is that it seems to me the best place in any business should be the break room. The place where you and I eat should be the most elegant, beautiful place, which means that when we're not working, we get to sit down and relax in a nice place where we can relax and have free food. I am a big believer in free the food. The dumbest ass thing any company does is make you pay for food. And where do we pay for food on the third shift? We pay for food on the third shift in a crappy vending machine in an ugly break room with one of the fluorescent lights. Let me describe the break room. Let me know how this compares to your break room. Let me describe the break room. Ready? All right. It's done in light beige and gray. every break room I've ever seen or been in, light beige and gray. It has hard, broken chairs. You try to sit down and one of the four screws that holds the seat to the chair is loose. It's always loose. You sit there and the first instinct is, I'm going to fall over. That's my first instinct. I'm going to fall off this chair. It's falling apart. You kind of get your balance right and then you sit there. And over there in the corner is glowing in the midnight sky, the vending machine. Now, it's Sunday going into Monday. We're going into the third shift. You and I are working the third shift. There's the vending machine. And one of it's got two lights. One lights the display. The other side lights the display. But only one light works. Never has a vending machine had all the lights on. And what do the lights reveal? They reveal gummy bears. Now, there's solid nutrition at 1 in the morning, gummy bears. And you put in your buck because, for some reason, gummy bears in a vending machine cost a dollar. A dollar for gummy bears. You put it in, and what happens? And your dollar comes back out. It was a perfectly good dollar. You got it from the bank. You put it in again. And it comes out. And then you put it in again, and it stays. Yes, I'm going to get my gummy bears. And you push the button, and the little thing twirls around. And it doesn't complete. It's like your sex life. It doesn't complete. And the gummy bears don't drop. And a dollar is gone. But that's okay. You have another dollar. You put your hand in your pocket, and you reach around to those crummy pieces of paper and the receipts and the softs from CVS and Walgreens, all those little, you know, promises of 15 cents off the next adult diapers that you buy at Walgreens. Oh, my gosh. I gave the dollar away to a guy on the street. I don't have any more money. And now it's 1:12 in the morning. And there, it's just me and that vending machine at 1:12 in the morning. And I've lost my dollar. The gummy bears are halfway out. What do? I start kicking the machine. Now I've hurt my foot. Have the gummy bears come out? No. I think, who can I bum a dollar off of? Who I haven't already bummed a dollar off of? I go to Mac. Go to Mac. Mac's always got some money. He's in sales. Always go to sales guys for money. I go to Mac. I don't got a thing tonight. Walt, I don't have a thing. I go to the chief engineer, who's busy in TOC. Busy in technical control and TOC. What does TOC stand for? Technical Operations Center. Is that what it stands for? I just made that up. I go to them. You know, he's in TOC. He's adjusting the processing illegally. Let's broadcast at minus 180 peaks there. I go to him. You got any money? Yeah, I got a 50. Why do engineers only have 50s? I got a $50 bill. You want it? Can you make change? No, I can't make change. That's why I need money from you. And once again, I have been sabotaged by the vending machine. Once again, I'm standing there with no money. No money, nothing out of the vending machine, an uncomfortable chair, and coffee. Except it's locked in a cabinet that only gets open at 9 in the morning when HR comes in and opens up the coffee. Once again, you and I are on the third shift with no friggin' food. The same companies offer us health care. And we get these memos from HR saying, be sure to take care of yourself. Nutrition counts. Okay, nutrition counts. There's preventative medicine. You can get free preventative exams at the doctor with our health insurance and discounts at the health club. Boy, that's great. And discounts at the pharmacy. That's terrific because we care about your health. If you cared about our health, you'd give us free food. What's more important than nutrition to good health? There's nothing more important than nutrition to good health. I believe that any company that has more than 10 employees should give free food to you and me. Free food. Guess what? The CEO, the chief operating officer, the owner, and Lord knows anybody with an MBA, they are getting free food at your company. What do you mean? How are they getting free food? They have an expense account. The sales weasels all have an expense account. They can go out and get pizza right now. The other problem with not serving free food on the third shift, where are we going to go to leave? where are you and I going to get free food? We're going to have to go to the 7-Eleven, get a Slurpee, and that suspicious, strange barbecue sandwich that goes in the microwave that doesn't work. The microwave at every 7-Eleven, the timing's a little off, so no matter what I do, if I put a sandwich in the microwave at the 7-Eleven, it's going to burn. And the Slurpee, not good for the diabetes. I want to know your experience with food on the third shift. I want to hear about your break room. Even better, you got the expensive smartphone your kids make you get? Take a picture of that break room and send it to me. Take a picture of that break room and send it to me, or post it on my Facebook page, Walter M. Sterling on Facebook, or tweet it to me, Walter M. Sterling. I want to see your break room, and I'd like you to call me now because I'm live, freaking live, at 888-688-WALT. Oh, you want to know where the Waffle House broadcast is going to be? I'll tell you where it's going to be from and when in just seconds on Westwood One.
I'm Stacy, and I'm not afraid to let Walter M. Sterling have an email at my company. His new email is walter@stacysentiretreeservice.com.
888-688-WALT. There's Bruce in Northeast Philadelphia. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi.
Walter, good evening. Your show is always entertaining, as always. I always enjoy
Thank you.
It.
Thank
you. You know, I had an observation about the Olympics, and I want to pass it.
Yes, Bruce.
You're watching the Olympics, right? And then they go to a commercial, right? And they show a shot of the Olympic flame. You know what I'm saying? Like the
flame. You put the boom boom into my heart. Yes.
And if you look at that flame, I swear, it looks like an industrial petroleum power yard where the flame, when they burn the gas off the top, it looks just like an industrial flame. I can't, you'd have to see it to
No, I understand what you're saying. It's like the flames of the refineries in Edison, New Jersey, and in Indiana and Illinois. Yes, I get it. You're absolutely right. Thank you very much for calling 888-688-WALT. What I want to talk to you about is your break room. I want you to call and describe to me live your break room, because I believe the break room should be like a Hyatt buffet. There should be great food, comfortable chairs. In fact, why not have it catered by Hyatt? That's what I think should be in the break rooms. And the most ridiculous thing is in hospitals, where you're probably working right now or going to the third shift in a hospital, why are the cafeterias closed overnight? I don't get that. There's the famous Gary Arnell on Sterling on Sunday. Hi, Gary.
Hey, Walter. First of all, real quick here on break rooms, when you talk about they should be like a Hyatt buffet. When I worked at Bloomberg Radio, that's what it was like, a Hyatt buffet.
Okay, stop right there. Stop. Describe I've seen the Bloomberg buffet. Describe it. You're right. This is what every company should offer their employees. Describe
really?
It.
Let's see. It would start out with a beverage bar, and I'm talking about a refrigerator with all kinds of specialty drinks in there, and all the Snapples and the Palms, all of that stuff. Then they would have an area where they would have some salad. Now, I'm talking about whether it was 11 o'clock at night, 1:30 in the morning, or if you were coming in on the morning shift. There would be, and everything was fresh. They cared about their employees so much that even at 3 in the morning, you would not see a piece of lettuce that was wilted. Wiltering. It was just incredible. And then they would have like when you go to an airport, they'd have a chef salad in a container. They'd have that area, and it was all complimentary on a house free. And let me just mention this quickly to you, because I know you're up against the clock. Then you go to the other extreme, where you have the vending machines that you were talking about. And I've worked at stations like this, and then the height of all insult, the Keurig K-Cup machine with the sign there that says you must bring in your own K-Cups. Zero, garnished, nada, nothing. So you go from Bloomberg, it's crazy.
To most radio stations. So how has your company insulted you with the break room? That's what I want to know. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. How has your company insulted you with the break room? I'm Walter M. Sterling. This is Sterling on Sunday, and this is Westwood One. Mortensen, Robert Dowd, Mimi Poplawski. Those are my Midnight Misfits. Welcome. Would you like to be a Midnight Misfit? Would you finally like to fit in? Because we have finally found each other. It's just you and me. Wait. Yep. Have all the grown-ups gone to bed? Good, because now it's just us. All the people who hand out forms, all the ones who write the rule books and the guidelines and the code, they've all gone to bed. It's just us. Isn't that a fantastic feeling? All my life, at this time of day, I feel this enormous weight has been lifted from me. And I'm just at one with the universe. I'm happy. I'm relaxed. I can think. I can write. I can create. It always happens right about now. How about you? We are punished, however, working the third shift in our break rooms. Nobody wants vending machine food. We should be given real food. It should be catered and available to us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All these companies that express concern over our health and provide health plans and preventive medicine and try to have a healthy environment, where's the food? There's nothing more important toward our health than proper nutrition. These same companies that give us health plans should give us free food. You and I should be able to walk into the break room and there should be a lovely buffet. And there should be healthy snacks and healthy drinks. And the break room itself should be beautiful. If you're working at a department store, you're working at a 24-hour store like Walmart, I bet when you walk into the Walmart break room, it is not a pretty sight. I'm betting anything it has not been painted since that store was open. I'll bet you there are fart burns on the sofa. I mean, I know there can't be cigarette burns. I'll bet you there are fart burns on the sofa. People have fallen asleep on that sofa. There's drool all over the arm of the sofa. I bet it's pretty disgusting in the break room at the Walmart. These should be the most magnificent rooms in any business because it's where you and I get to rest and be able to perform better when we go back out to work. Instead, every break room I've ever seen is disgusting as hell. And what's that blue stuff in the coffee maker pots? What is that blue stuff they put in the coffee maker pots? And why isn't it Dunkin' Donuts coffee? Why is it always some strange white label coffee? There's Gary Arnell, one of the greatest talk show hosts in history, who has more to say about the topic of free food, free the food. Let's you and I talk at 888-688-WALT. I am live at 37 past the hour at 888-688-WALT. WALT, I want to hear about your break room situation and your company's policy about food. Because not only don't they serve free food, most companies, they got whack job rules about food. Don't eat at your desk. Don't eat too much at your desk. Don't put anything in the microwave before noon. Never eat at a full moon. It's insane, the food rules that they've got. And, oh, and God help me, at a radio station, you'd think I was committing surgery in a studio. There'll be no food in the studio. The reason people go into radio, is that we can eat and smoke alone in a room and appear to be social. Isn't that right, Gary? Well,
that is right, and I have to tell you something. When you talk about food in a radio station studio, because I guess about a month and a half, 2 months ago, you did that fantastic program, the Radio Legends Show, that we did from 1210 WPHT in Philadelphia. So I have a cut. Now, nobody knows this. I don't believe anybody knows this. And the chief engineer up there, Scalish, he would have, like, really had needed triple bypass if he knew what had taken place that night. I had a cup of coffee. And by the way, you brought, even though the coffee pots up there had that blue stuff in them at night, you brought in corned beef sandwiches that night. And we actually had something to eat. And it was complimented by the vending machines. But anyway, I grab a cup of coffee. I go into one of the three studios that we're using that night. I'm sitting along the back wall. And Walter, I never thought I'd admit this. I knocked over my cup of coffee. I was a good 5 feet from the board, but I knocked over the cup of coffee, and it's a shocker, because you know they do not want you to bring stuff like this for that very reason into a studio. But I spilled it, and then I kept rubbing it, and finally it dried out in the rug, and that was the end of that. But I have to tell you, and I started to say this before, it's so much of the psychology of an employee depends on that workroom. Now, you talk about Walmart. I mean, I've been outside Walmart break rooms where I believe they have, there's no CO posted. In other words, they have not earned a certificate of occupancy for those. I'm not kidding you. There's no CO. There's like a fire marshal thing. I peered into some of these, in some of these stores. It is absolutely debilitating psychologically. And I think one of the worst things, and I said this before, was when you go, whether it be a radio station or anywhere else, and the company tells you how much they value you and cherish you, and then you go into the break room, and there is that Keurig coffee K-cup maker, and there's that sign you have to bring in your own K-cup, and there's nothing. There's not a candy bar. There's not a bag of chips. Oh, there are. There's candy bars and chips in the vending machines that don't work half the time, and then if it's overnight, forget about it. But these companies don't realize, Walter, instead of the $2 raise, you could psychologically have these people feeling very, very good if you would just give them a little bag of potato chips overnight. It's just, it's crazy. It absolutely is crazy. And it just, it's mind-boggling when they tell you to bring in your own coffee. It's just mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling.
And one of the first places that any company cuts is they cut services in the break room. And that's insane because, again, the CEO, the COO, the head of sales, always the head of sales, has an expense account. And they're running $3,000-$4,000 a week in expenses that includes their lunches. When they put in for lunch with a, quote, client, it includes a meal for them. Meanwhile, you and I are fighting for the Ritz crackers and the stale Lorna Doones in the vending machines. I don't get it. It's the dumbest. It's a profound lack of understanding because guess what? Most of the people who use the break room are making between 10 and 20 bucks an hour.
That's
and that lunch, that $10 to $15 lunch is a significant expense. It's a significant amount of money plus a big time waster. And when people criticized Michael Bloomberg at Bloomberg News and said, why are you providing this food? Why isn't this a big waste of money? He always gave the same answer. He said, you don't understand the model. And the model was he knew that if he provided you with food that you saw the minute the elevator door opened, you'd start off happy and you didn't waste an hour of company time going out to get a sandwich. It's the simplest math. But again, these very anal managers who are looking for at the wrong places to save money. I'll tell you where to save money. Get rid of HR. Get rid of freaking HR. We don't need HR.
Bloomberg had the right attitude. He absolutely, you know, even at Bloomberg, he would work in the middle of all of us in the newsroom and had his desk right there. Very approachable guy. And that kind of theory and philosophy carried right over to the break room. And it was great. I'll tell you, Walter, in some places, it gets so desperate that you talk about the Luna, what is it? The Luna, what are those cookies? The Luna.
The Luna bars?
Yeah, no, Luna Dorns, whatever the heck they are.
Oh, Lorna Doones, sorry. That's
Lorna
okay.
Lorna Doones. It's so bad in some of these places that if you go to a vending machine and you drop a buck in there and you pull the little knob, or you push the button, you don't pull a knob anymore, you push the button, and you push it for the Lorna Doones, and out comes just the wrapper, not the cookies themselves. You are ecstatic that this company is taking care of you. But that's how desperate it's got at some locations. But you're right. I mean, it matters much. So,
all right, listen, 888-688-WALT. I want to talk with you about trouble in the break room, frustrations you have with your break room. What does it look like? How does it feel when you walk in there? That's what I'd like to know. Now, Gary, and here's my number, 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. I'm on with Gary Arnell, one of the greatest talk show hosts ever. And now we're going to have a radio geek moment. Would you like one of those, Gary?
I am absolutely ready for that.
I'm going to play you the best disc jockey who ever lived. Would you like to hear the best disc jockey who ever lived?
You didn't tell me you were going to play excerpts of my previous shows tonight.
Find this out in town, silly, silly fool. Hips out in town, fast like in the city of 13, past 6.
Where the hits keep happening.
Jackson 5 hits out of the top 25 for the sound of one. Hey, baby, I want you back. WMCA in New York, a member of the Strauss Broadcasting Group. Young children up to the microphone. Straight inside, Mr. Collins. I'll be quite like eyebrows there. Give me some lyrical uh-huh. Make that good money.
That's the best disc jockey who ever had. That was Frankie Crocker on WMCA. Who's on line two? Who is on line two? At 888-688-WALT with Walter M. Sterling. We are going to go to a Waffle House. We're going to broadcast live from a Waffle House. And I want you to come. Now, when you come to the Waffle House, I need you to bring the ugliest coffee mug you ever have, you've ever seen. And we will exchange it for a brand new Waffle House coffee mug. Won't that be incredible? Finally, you'll have a Waffle House coffee mug. I know you're very anxious for that. 888-688-WALT. I know you're anxious for that. If you want to know when we're going to the Waffle House and where the Waffle House is, you have to download my podcast. It's called Old Dad Secrets. Old Dad Secrets. Old Dad Secrets. And you can get it on Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, a lot of platforms with podcasts. Old Dad Secrets. The new one, episode 223, reveals where the Waffle House is and the date. And there's Tom from WLS in Chicago. Hi, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Tom, hi. Oh, somebody pushed the button for Tom. Join me in the show. The show's over here, guys. Thank you. Tom from WLS in Chicago. Hi.
How you doing tonight, Walter?
It's great, Tom. Why are you in a reverb?
It might be just my voice. I'm really hoarse tonight.
What's going on, Tom?
Well, I wanted to let you know that we never had any problem getting free stuff out of the vending machine, especially at night, because the mice kept knocking them out of the racks.
No, that's not true. Is that true?
It's absolutely true.
That's the coolest story. What kind of company was this?
It was a large industrial engine manufacturing company.
And you had mice that were so aggressive, they pushed things out of the vending machine for you.
They would actually be, you know, jumping and running inside the vending machine and knocking the merchandise out of the springs.
How much better would you have felt if you walked in and saw a nice buffet, a well-painted break room, comfortable chairs? Wouldn't that have made a difference?
Yeah, I would have thought I was in the wrong company, though.
Now, Tom, are you new to listening to Sterling on Sunday on WLS?
I am. I've been a night worker for about 35 years, so I'm deeply appreciative of people who have talent who are on the radio at night.
Well, I don't have any talent, but I'm on the radio at night. But good news for you. You get to play the cash call game. And all you have to do is tell me who this voice is, and you could win the cash call contest.
I promise to make your life a living hell, and I always keep my promise.
Who is that?
Dorothy L'Amour.
No, don't give away your age like that, Tom. Thanks very much for calling. 888-688-WALT. I want to hear your stories about life in the break room on the third shift. Things that make you crazy. I believe the food should be free. Those companies that say we care about our employees, we have a wellness program, we have prevention programs, we have discounts to health clubs. We care about your health. If you cared about my health, you would give me free, nutritious food. And I wouldn't have to spend my time fighting the vending machine. What a bunch of cheap bastards. Why the heck should we have to fight the vending machine to eat at 2 in the morning? If that vending machine doesn't work, if it isn't working right now, when's it going to be fixed? It's going to be fixed Tuesday at 10. It won't be fixed Monday morning. Oh, we placed a call to them. They said they'd be out today, but gee, oh gosh, they didn't make it. No. The food should be free. I demand free food. Free the food. 888-688 WALT.
Cool and joy, being a guy, having a girl like me.
Right on, Dusty. Dusty Springfield, brand new sound in town. Silly, silly fool. The hip sound in town. Fast like in the city of 13, past 6.
WALT.
where the hits keep happening.
Jackson 5 hits out of the top 25 for the sound of one. Hey, baby, I want you back. WMCA in New York, a member of the Strauss Broadcasting Group. Young children up to the microphones. Thank you, Side Fisher Collins. Don't you fight like eyebrows, eh? Give me some lyrical uh-huh. Make that good money.
I'm Stacy, and I'm not afraid to let Walter M. Sterling have an email at my company. His new email is walter@stacysentiretreeservice.com. This is Westwood One.
Hit it.
You're listening to Sterling on Sunday, not for weak program directors. I'm John Sebastian. Hire me to be the voice of your business. Call 888-688-WALT to learn about my big voice.
All right, there's Barry Jones. Thank you so much for your nice note, Barry Jones. Every email I get gets answered. My email address is walter@stacys, S-T-A-C-Y-S, stacysentiretreeservice.com. It is a privilege for me to promote Stacy's Entire Tree Service in Little Rock, Arkansas, listening on KARN, home of Peter Thiel and Doc Washburn. It really doesn't get better than that, and congratulations to Peter Thiel for your giant trend, your huge trend. Big ratings. All right. About the horror show in Florida and in high schools across the country, I want you to pay very close attention to the background of those shooters. The background of the shooters at every one of these high schools. These shooters did not come from happy mom and dads. They did not come from stable, traditional homes. These came from troubled homes. It's not about the environment at school. It's not about having a gun. It's about how you was raised. There are millions of guns in America, and there are thousands of high schools. This is a very rare event. That's why it's news. Therefore, the background of the people who are pulling those triggers, it's an extraordinary event. But it doesn't matter what I think, and it doesn't matter what you think. What matters is, are you going to high school tomorrow? Are you going to walk into a high school tomorrow? Are you a kid? Are you 15? Are you 16 years old? Are you going to high school tomorrow? And you know that every time you hear about a mass murder, it's at a high school? The level of vulnerability and fear must be remarkable. And therefore, rather than talking to some jerk-off from the NRA or some jerk-off in politics or looking to politics for a solution, politicians for a solution, always a bad idea. They're all crooks. They're all crooks. I decided to talk to a 15-year-old, to talk to a 15-year-old girl and ask her, what is it like to go into high school today? How does she feel? How does she feel? How does she feel that this situation should be handled and prevented? And what she says, first of all, I believe would work. And secondly, is shocking and surprising in what she says about how to prevent mass murders from happening in high schools. You can hear my interview with the 15-year-old at Old Dad Secrets. That's the podcast. You can get it on Google Play, TuneIn, iTunes, and it's a way for us to stay in touch during the week. I put a new podcast up every Wednesday, brand new podcast up every Wednesday. This particular one features a 15-year-old who's in high school. We had the conversation yesterday. Fresh information about what she feels. How does she feel when she walks into a school? You're a teacher, you're an educator, you're an administrator. You better hear this. You need to hear this. And her suggestion on how to prevent it is brilliant, interesting, and I think will be very constructive. Plus, you'll learn which Waffle House we're going to be at. That's at the podcast, Old Dad Secrets. I'm Walter M. Sterling. This is Sterling on Sunday at Westwood One.
And my classroom should be as well air-conditioned as your favorite bar.
Next Sunday, all right? Right. Stay bright.